We're looking for our miracle tonight, Lord. We need a miracle. We need you to do the impossible. What's impossible for us to even imagine is possible. You can do. We're asking you to do that tonight. We're inviting your presence. Lord, we want to make way for your presence. We want to open every door to you. So right now we want to prepare ourselves. We want to just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come and search us. Lord, if there's anything in us that would block you, then we're asking you right now to reveal it. Bring it to the forefront of our mind. Bring it right before our eyes. Let us clearly see it, whether it's pride, selfishness, fear, self-pity, weariness, tiredness, giving up, failure, all these things that attack us all day long, Lord. Attitudes of unbelief and doubt. We just rebuke them. We don't want these things in us, God. We ask you to forgive us for letting them take charge of our thoughts and our emotions. And right now we choose to kick them out and invite you to fully reign inside of us. Lord, we ask you to bring truth that will set us free tonight. We ask you to increase our faith, to hear what you would say, to believe what you would say, and to grab onto it and apply it. We ask you to just calm us, rest us from the busy week. We ask you to seal this room, to just cover us with your protection, surround this place with angels, block out the invasion of the enemy when he tries to intrude. We ask you that you would open the eyes of the watchman to stand on guard, to have your wisdom to protect, to hold back the enemy. We just want to go further than we've ever gone before. We want to enter the spirit realm of your kingdom. We want our faith, Lord, to rise up, to believe for what you came here to do. So prepare us. In the name of Jesus. We are going to start with Revelation 19:10 in the very last sentence. Revelation 19:10b or C, because there's like three thoughts there. We want to go to the very last. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. First of all, a testimony is a witness of something that has been done, has been seen. So we have witnesses all through Scripture that have told us things Jesus did. There are testimonies. There are witnesses. These testimonies of Jesus and what he has done is prophetic, can be prophetic. Prophecy is not only foretelling what's going to happen in the future. Prophecy can open the door of faith to what he wants to do in just a couple of minutes. It can open the faith. He can prophetically walk up to you and say, "Tonight, I'm going to heal your hands." Now, that's a testimony coming from Jesus of what he's going to do. Prophetically, he's telling you this is going to happen. I'm going to deliver you from all that insecurity down inside of you. I'm going to heal your heart from that rejection and that woundedness. That is a testimony that he's giving you. When I tell you the things that he's done for me, when I share with you those healing situations I've gone through and what he's done for me, that's a testimony of Jesus. It's a testimony of what Christ has done. And that, when he comes and says, "I'm going to do it for you," now there is a prophetic statement based on that testimony. And if you will believe it, he will do it. That's what we place our faith on. This testimony of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, when I speak a testimony of something Christ did, his Holy Spirit moves in that to place faith in you. And he moves through that to give you a word. If I'm standing up here saying, "I used to have a spirit of rejection on me. I had this expectation that people would reject me. I didn't like me. So when I would walk in a room, I would walk in the room, first of all, full of selfishness, wondering, what are they going to think of me? I'm not going in the room saying, oh, look at all these people. I wonder who's in here that needs me to love them. I would walk in a room saying, I hope they don't even look at me. I hope they don't even notice me, because they won't like me. They're not going to like me. I didn't expect them to like me. Do you know, when you say that, you actually come in agreement with an evil spirit who you are now releasing to go in that room and tell people, don't like her. Don't like her. Don't like her. And then you look at those faces and they really are not liking you, and you've got confirmation, they don't like me. I don't want to be here anymore. And then you want to go and leave and not be around people. You projected it by giving that agreement to a spirit to go and tell people that. Do you know, when you're driving on the road and somebody in front of you messes up and you go, you idiot, you actually release those words to a spirit that can go to that person, and just all day long, everything they do, that spirit can say, you're an idiot, you're an idiot, you're an idiot. Because God Himself and the devil have restricted themselves to working through human beings. Their spirit can come and attack your thought life, but they work through the words we speak. The power of life and death are in the tongue. So we need to be really careful what we say. Words are powerful. And the testimony, the words that are spoken of a testimony of what Jesus has done, actually releases the Holy Spirit through that testimony to prophetically walk up to someone in the room and say, tonight I'm going to do that for you. Now you have a word, a prophetic word from Christ saying, tonight I'm going to do that for you. And inside of you, if you take that word and go, I believe tonight He's going to do that for me. Now you're putting your faith. You're saying, if He did it for her, He can do it for me. And now your hope and your faith is beginning to grow. Francis Frangipane said that hope is the soil that faith grows in. First of all, you got to want something. You have to have a hope for something. Do you want to be healed tonight? Did you come here with a hope to get something tonight? Or just ears of curiosity to say, well, I'll sit back and check it out, but I don't know. That's doubt. If you didn't expect to get anything, you probably won't. But if you came in here saying, I really have a hope. I hope it's me tonight. I hope He'll do something in me tonight. I hope God will touch me tonight. Whether it's a physical healing or an emotional healing, or you just want to encounter God. Did you come here hoping to meet with God? Because if you've got a hope, then you can receive a testimony that will release a word from Jesus into you tonight. And when you hear that, when you start saying to Him, I hope You'll do that in me. I have a hope tonight. I hope You'll heal my heart because I'm hurting. I hope You'll heal my leg because it's hurting. I'm hoping You'll take away these negative thoughts that attack me every day. I don't want to live in this negativity. I woke up in negativity today. And I've been doing that lately without realizing it. I pulled myself out of that bed. Normally, I'm a morning person. I'm looking at the clock from 4 till 5 saying, stay in bed till 5 or you're going to be really tired later. You need to sleep till 5 because I want to get up at 4. But this morning, I slept till 6. And I didn't want to get up at 6. And I drug out in that kitchen. I know you think that's not sleeping in, but for me, that is a sleep in. So I'm dragging out in the kitchen at 6. And I've told myself, I want to try to drink only 3 coffees a day. It's better for me. Okay? 1 in the morning, 1 in the afternoon break, and 1 after dinner. And I give myself liberty. I can have a 4th cup anytime I want. But I try to save it for the evening because that's when it's the best. So I get up and I go in the kitchen and I'm looking. I drank my cup of coffee and I'm going, I'm still not awake. You know, no matter what I do, I am just overwhelmed. Life is too hard, and I'm so tired, and I don't care. I'm going to drink another coffee. And before I could pour it, it hit me. The reason you're about to do that is because you had negativity enter your mind and you let it live there. You let the negativity stay there of hopelessness. Life is too hard. I can't figure everything out. I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed and I'm tired. And I've got some things God is wanting to do. And I don't know exactly how it's supposed to happen. And I've been getting confused and overwhelmed. And when I let that overtake me, I can't function anymore. And then I say, might as well give up. What difference does it make? Negativity will drag you into the pit before you know what hit you. We need to recognize that first negative thought and don't agree with it because it's the devil. So if you came here hoping for just a moment, you went, maybe he would do this thing for me tonight, maybe. And then all of a sudden that devil comes along and says, probably not. And you go, yeah, probably not. Never works for me. I've tried before. It didn't work. It's not going to happen. You know what? I don't see that kind of stuff happen. And you know what? You're not going to. As long as you think like that, you're not going to. We are coming closer to a time when he wants to do those things we've heard. Raise the dead, renew youth, grow out arms. Healings like we've been seeing this, grow your fingers out. That's good, adjust your back. We've been seeing healing on a minor scale. We're going to see it on a big scale. My dreams last night were dead people getting up. Dead people were getting up. And it was not even unusual. I would be talking to somebody, and I'm like, are you one of them? Yeah, man, I just woke up from the dead today. And I went, cool, there's two more over there. They just got up from death too. There were so many people that woke up from being dead, I wasn't even shocked anymore. They were everywhere. My sister is going to be risen from the dead. God told me that. And when he told me that, I want to go out there every day. I want to be there when it happens. I want to see this. She's got the biggest tombstone you ever saw. Her kids went wacko, which people do. They got a tombstone this big, that wide. They got a picture of mom. They got a picture of dad. And I'm going, I don't know how she's going to get out of there. That thing is heavy, How's she going to get that body out of that grave? I want to see it happen. I want to see exactly how Jesus is going to do that. 4 days went by, 5 days went by, 5 weeks went by, and I went, God, you said you were going to raise my sister from the dead. He said, I am. What difference does it make how long? If it's 4 years, 10 years, 20 years? When he rose Lazarus after 4 days, he was already not looking too good. 4 days in the grave, you're already decaying, So there's no difference in 4 days and in 10 years. One day, my sister will get out of the grave. One day, Pete's wife will get out of the grave. There are some people, God has already told us, that they're going to get out of the grave. My mother's not, because I asked God, and he said, no, she's not born for these end times. She's already in heaven and she's staying there. But there are some people that are born for this time, and I don't know why they died, but they're coming back. God is going to do tremendous things. How's he going to do it? How's he going to do it? When he went to his disciples and he said, oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt? We're going to talk about some faith tonight before we talk about healing, because we need to have hope. We need to get excited. We need to decide we believe God. And why would he talk to us if all we do is brush those thoughts away? He puts a thought in our mind and we go, oh, God, was that you? I doubt it. If we doubt it as soon as he says it, why should he keep talking to us? So tonight we're going to decide to believe him. Then we're going to ask him some questions. And we're going to believe him when he answers. Testimony of Jesus releases a spirit that plants faith and hope in us. So right now, first thing I want to do is open the floor for testimonies. Did Jesus do something for you in healing that you would like to share so that you can release a spirit of testimony about him right now? Does somebody want to share a testimony? Be brave. I want some testimonies of what God's been doing through the healing right now.
Oh, you mean like inner healing?
Yeah. Inner healing, physical healing. Yeah. Somebody got one for me?
I don't have my poem with me, but God woke me up in the middle of the night. I went on an Emmaus walk, if anybody knows what that is. And the night that I got home, he woke me up and gave me a poem about apples and oranges. They're nothing alike. Apples are crisp and refreshing, and oranges are sweet and I can't remember. I'll have to dig the poem up for you. But the point is, no two people are alike. Why are you trying to be like the person next to you? We're, like you said, the first meeting.
Trying to live that golden image.
We are wonderfully made by him in his image. And we're all individually different facets of the living God.
So you got a little bit more insight into who you are. Awesome. Did anybody else have anything happen since we started these meetings that God did that you want to share?
Well, last Friday when we were here, I didn't realize that I was still mad at my sister and had an offense. And after I took her to court, and this week, I've had such peace. And God said she couldn't help the way she was acting because she's wounded also. So I've been praying for her every day. And I know that God's going to do a mighty work.
So you were able to love her again.
Yes. I haven't called her yet.
So the pain and the bitterness got removed.
Right.
I had an experience this week. We did mother healing on Wednesday night at our inner healing at our church. And as I am preparing for it, you know, and I always ask God, if I need anything in this area that I'm going to bring, that I want you to do it in me too, you know. So I had a dream about my mother, and then I had a vision where my mother, as she really is now in heaven, in spirit, she was young, she was beautiful, she was healthy, and it was like she was right face to face with me, and she was just so beautiful in spirit, and I felt like I could know her intimately, like I never really got to know her, because she was wounded and kept up all her guards, and as I'm getting to know her, it was like her eyes filled up with tears, and she was just saying, I'm so sorry, I never even knew how much you needed that I didn't give you. I didn't know. I'm so sorry. And all I could say was, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. And it was her spirit that was just so... But I felt like my mother and I fully bonded. And it was just awesome. You know, there's a lot of healing in that. Anyone else? God, dreams, visions, anything that changed in your emotions in this past week? I already knew about you. I was just waiting. I didn't hear it, but I knew there was one.
Okay. Well, like when I went before God and was talking about my family. So a couple nights ago, I had a dream about my older sister and how, well, she was always higher than me. You know, more important and wealthy and everything. And so I had a dream about her and then my younger sister, Carol, because they were really close together. And so when I had the dream about her, she was really thin. And she's not thin now, last time I saw her. She used to be thin when she was younger, and she could eat anything she wanted to and not get fat, but not me. I would get fat. And so I was kind of like always thinking, okay, how can she do that, you know? But anyways, I was just wondering, why did God give me that dream about my sister? Do you know?
I know who does. Nate has an interpretation, and he's going to bring it. I know what he thought.
Yeah. So what I was sensing in my spirit was exactly how they're teaching about God taking you to a place to heal you. To heal you, like he takes you back there and heals you, right? So, like I just seen how he brought you face to face with her, and there's an inner healing that's going on, and I think that there's more coming. That he'll do some healing in you, ask you questions, and so like he brought you together so you could resolve some things, in the spirit, in your dreams.
Oh, okay, thank you.
That does bear witness. And dreams and visions sometimes come in pieces, but he evidently took you back in the past where that is what she looked like, because there might be something at that point you need to deal with. With, you know, talking to God about that very thing, that how you felt and he made her different than you and why. And it's a matter of rejecting those thoughts and accepting how he made you. Did you say you had something on that too for her? Come put it in here, because these are all recorded and they go on the website.
Okay. You've lost weight, right? God's stripping things away from you, isn't he?
Stripping
things away from you. Well, he's going to do the same for your sister. She's thin. You said she's fat right now, but she won't be. Okay. When you go into a healing process in the spirit, you also take the other person with you.
Okay.
So that's what I got.
That's awesome. You'll be praying for her, and she'll get some healing too.
Amen.
Very good. I was going to say, I don't know when you got fat, but you got over it. Anyone else want to share?
Well, trying to remember how long ago I took my mom to court. My mom and I, we didn't get along real good through my growing up years. And my adult years. So I'd say probably maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
Can you be brave enough to share a little bit of how she talked to you and treated you so they get a picture of where it was?
Okay. Well, when I was little, I had asthma, and I had 2 younger brothers. She used to say things to me like, well, I shouldn't be carrying you. Your brothers are younger. And I couldn't breathe, so I needed her to carry me. And she would just say things like that that would hurt me. And I was only like 7 years old, and I couldn't breathe. I don't know. I can hardly remember them anymore because God healed me. Yeah, God healed me. Oh, let's see. One time she said to me, this was really hurtful. I had a brother that passed away when he was 15 years old, and we were driving into Grand Rapids for the funeral. And I remember my mom saying to my dad, why couldn't it have been one of the other kids? And I happened to be in the back seat when she said that, and I really felt like she wanted it to be me. I guess I'm not over that part yet. but she was always, I think, wanting everything that happened to be me and not my brothers. And she didn't want me when I was born. She was going to give me away. My grandma was going to adopt me. And it turned out Mom kept me after all. Not that it was great, but she did keep me. And then so my growing up years, it was really hard. Because I knew she didn't want me. My grandma told me she didn't, because she was the one that was going to adopt me, but she didn't. So I knew that, and my mom never told me that. So I think I held animosity towards her, and I don't think she knew that. I never told her. And she never told me that she didn't want me. So I just kind of lived with that. Yeah, she very seldom told me she loved me. I guess I just took it for granted that she did. I was her daughter, so, you know. And I guess it was 6 years ago.
Gosh, I don't know. A few years back.
Yeah. Taking people to court, I did that. And, man, did I get some healing. it took a while. I still hurt for a while, and I just made up my mind that, you know, I couldn't keep living like this. I hurt too bad. And I was hurting, and I couldn't live like that the rest of my life. And thank God I had Sue. She helped me so much. But I took Mom to court, and she doesn't even know I did that. But I started being really nice to her on the phone. She lives in Alabama. And it took a lot of strength to be able to tell her I loved her. And to be able to have a relationship with her. This part was really important, because I expected her to be my mother. I expected certain things from her as a mother. I expected her to call me once in a while. I expected her to love me. I expected her to put her arms around me and tell me that she loved me and that I was the best daughter she could have had. And she didn't do that. I expected a lot of things out of her. And I finally realized that I couldn't put any expectation on anyone, especially her. Except Jesus. Jesus was the only one I could expect anything from. And so that's who I put my expectation in to this day, and this day forward. My husband, I expected things from him, and I don't expect anything from him anymore either. And it's taught me a lot. That you just gotta love Jesus and just take what comes, because you can't expect any more than what's right in front of you, and Jesus is right here. And then my mom came up.
Well, even before this trip, as she began getting healed, God began loving her mom. Through her, she was pouring all the love on her mother, without asking or wanting anything back. She just kept loving and loving and letting God love her mother until her mother began to melt and change. And she brought healing. Like you said, you bring another person in with you.
So she come up to visit a couple recently. She just went back, left last, when did they leave?
Last week.
Last Friday, I guess. Anyway, we had such an awesome time. I keep going over it in my head that I wished I would have had these times with her back in my 20s, you know, or all through my life, but to share what we shared this time. She loved me. She hugged me. She called me her daughter. And we just had the most awesome time. The trip on the way home, she said, we feel like turning around and coming back. They had such a good time. So, yeah, it just, you know, it makes a difference when God's in it, because he can turn it right around.
Does anyone else want to share what God has done? Take these testimonies. Maybe it'll touch something you need tonight, and you can begin asking God to do that for you.
This week, I did a mallet for my husband. All of my married life, he's been unfaithful and treated me awful. Physical, not physical, but mental abuse. And so I went before the Lord, and I took him to God, and I confessed all those things, and then I said, God, we're going to erase all that. We're going to forget all of that. And then, so when I called him today, I have stayed away. He can be, he's in a nursing home, and he can be really, really verbally abusive. And so he broke my heart last Friday. So I went back to see him today, but I have been gone for all that time. And I ended up in the hospital over the weekend, though. But that was not from that. That was from a mistake that I put something in my body that I shouldn't have. But anyways, you know, a vitamin. It wasn't a bad thing. But I didn't read the bottle right, and I overdosed. Okay. Yeah. So, anyways, when I called him today, he said to me, guess what? I'm reading the, or the lady, he can't see, the lady down the next door to him had been reading the Bible yesterday, and they prayed together. He never would pray. So praise the Lord. God's working. God's working.
You're bringing a couple people in through your healing. That's amazing. Okay, come on.
I did mine on my mother last week, and I didn't. She's and my father actually, both of them, for terrible Christmases and all the pain they caused through picking on one person, you know. But she ended up in the hospital, and she wasn't eating or drinking, and her kidneys and liver were shutting down, and miraculously she's out of intensive care and coming back. The doctors didn't have any hope for her, so she is being revived.
Your forgiveness may have opened a door for Jesus to be able to heal her some. Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. Forgiveness is powerful. It is powerful. One time I had what I call an eternal glimpse. That's when you've just seen something eternal that, I think it was a couple of years before I could even begin to talk about it verbally. But I saw the day that the graves open, when Jesus comes back and the graves open and all the people resurrect. And what I saw was the blood of Christ go right through the earth and affect all those lives, all those bodies, so they could be restored. And I understood that it was the power of forgiveness that sent that blood into the grave. What I did not understand at that time was the difference in this forgiveness and this forgiveness. Because when we're saved, we are forgiven completely in Christ. He took all our death. Why do we still die? He took all our sickness. Why are we sick? He said, if you do not forgive others, I cannot forgive you. It's this level. It's this level of forgiveness. It's so powerful for them and for us to undo sickness and death and misery and all kinds of consequences. And when finally that forgiveness this way is understood by the church and is fulfilled, all those graves can open right up. Now that, I believe, is how my sister will get out of the grave. There were people that had things against her when she died. And honestly, my sister could have been healed, but she would not repent of something because God sent me to tell her, if you repent of this, he will heal you. And she said, no, I will not. And she died. But when she died, there were people in her life angry with her over things. And I was like, God, there's no more I can say. There's no more I can do. He said, yes, there is. You pray for these people on earth to forgive her for her sake, for her resurrection, and for their sake, because they are reaping unforgiveness and all the stuff that goes with it in their own life. Forgiveness is powerful, and it is the key that opens the door to your healing, physically and emotionally. It opens the door to miracles. Mercy is powerful. Forgiveness is powerful. We've heard testimonies. Anybody else? I don't want to shut anybody out.
I have dealt with low self-esteem, lack of confidence, as long as I can remember. And through this process, I've just been trying to figure out where it came from. And I, like, for the longest time, I thought I knew. And so I was ready to, like, forgive, and then God revealed, like, it's not from that. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. And so I've just really been trying to work that out, and I don't know specifically where. I know I was very young, though, like, very little. But just these last couple of weeks, through worshiping, like, daily at home, he's healed some pretty big things in me just in my living room. I like to throw YouTube on and worship with Bethel. And 2 weeks ago, he healed me of fear and anxiety. And I think a lot of that tied in with my confidence. You know, I was always afraid I wasn't good enough. And I was afraid that, you know, things with my business even, I'm afraid to do that because I don't think I'm good enough. And he healed me of that. And then this last week, I was worshiping, and I saw his face, and he said, lie down. And so I got in the chair, and I just laid there. That's not my typical worship at all. I mean, I'm usually jumping around, and he, like, came toward me and just put his hands on my heart. And I was like, huh. And he's like, I'm healing your heart. I'm healing your heart. And I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden on Bethel, she gets on the mic and says, you know, people's hearts are stirring tonight. And she was talking, this is like 2 weeks ago that she was talking, but it was talking to me. And I was like, wow. So that's my testimony for him.
There, sometimes, you know, this is awesome. We have a lot of people that actually know what God's doing. Normally we have a few people who can verbalize what's going on, or if they have a vision or a dream. Most people are like Apostle Harvey. They just lay on the floor and they're oblivious and maybe even snores and goes to sleep. And then I say, what'd God do? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. But in the days following, he'll start realizing that he feels different about something or different towards someone. And he sees the results beginning to affect his life. Because he's wide open going, God, me, here I am. Come do something in me. Then he goes, I didn't feel anything. But it's happening. God never turns down the invitation. When you say, I'm wide open and I know I need and I want, healing and deliverance. And, you know, we think about pain. We only think about pain. But, you know, the thing that we take on to cover pain is things like anger, coldness, withdrawing, silence. Oh, silence is a big one. One of my daughters, if she was mad at her husband, she wouldn't talk to him for 3 days to punish him. She says, I'm not even mad at him anymore, but I want it to affect him so much he'll never do it again. It was a punishment method. But when we're young and we get hurt, there's the enemy saying, you don't have to feel this pain if you're angry. It's easier to be angry than hurt. If you're hurt, you're vulnerable, and you'll get hurt deeper. Somebody will come and hurt you more. So we take on anger. We take on coldness. We shut people out. And what happens is we build all these walls, all these self-protections, and then we end up shutting ourselves in, and we actually shut God in, and He can't flow through us to people. Now, we want to let God flow. We're coming so near to big things God's going to do. He is looking for people who will say, I rebuke pride. I will not let pride block God in my life. I will not hide. I'm not going to quit because somebody doesn't like me. I am not going to back off because of what they say. I'm not going to fear man. I surrender all. And God, I want everything I'm blind about to come into the light. I want to be healed, but I also want to be delivered from these lying spirits that have put my life in prison and kept me locked up in their lying deceptions. I don't want them anymore. I want to be free so He can be free. I want that. Tonight I want that. That's my hope. I have a hope. So I'm giving God soil through my hope that can let these testimonies place some faith inside of me tonight so that when He gives me a word, I can believe Him.
I believe you.
Amen. Now let's get Him to speak to us. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you think your miracle is impossible? I thought my miracles were impossible. I really did. I thought my life was beyond help. There was no way I could not be shy. There was no way I could not be insecure. There was no way I could not be afraid of people. No way I could be any different than who I was. I skipped school almost every day of the week as soon as I was old enough to figure out how to do it. Drop me off at the front door, and I would walk out the back door. As I got a little older, I got more clever. My girlfriend and I had it figured out. I'd go to the bathroom, go to a vacant room, call her classroom and ask to send her to the office. Then she would go call my teacher, get me sent to the office. One time my sister wrote a note saying I was having another eye surgery and I would be out for 2 weeks. I made the whole 2 weeks up to the last day and the teacher called my mom to see how I was recovering. I got caught on a regular basis and did it the very next day again. I didn't care if I got caught. I was not going in there with those scary kids. I was terrified at school. I didn't care if they would beat me, ground me, take away every privilege. I was not going to be among other people who scared me. And I was scared of everybody. I hid behind my mom's dress. Even when relatives came over, I couldn't talk to anybody. I felt my miracle was hopeless. I never in a million years could imagine God would want me to stand in front of people and talk. He tricked me because when I first got saved, I went just with a friend for her. I only had one friend. And I went with her to learn sign language for the deaf. And I was good at it. So then the preacher came down and said he wanted me to interpret sermons up in the church. And I, well, first the teacher told me that. And I said, nope, don't think God would call me to do that. I don't get in front of people. So I told God, if you're telling me to do this, have the preacher himself come to class, which he never did, and ask me personally. So the next class, the preacher came and asked me personally. So God tricked me by getting me in front of people doing sign language where I didn't have to speak. And I hid in sign language for a few years. I hid in it. I didn't have to talk to anybody. I hid in the deaf corner where nobody spoke. And I was comfortable because they were very childlike. And I could trust them because they were so honest. They would say, "Why do you have that ugly dress?" And I could believe people that would talk to me like that because they don't lie, you know. So I liked them. But then God took that away and he made me start using my voice to get in front of people. I like to preach. I like to teach. When you find what you are really created to do, it thrills you. It excites you. You love it. And I never would have dreamed that I was supposed to stand in front of people and talk. But God healed me. He delivered me from insecurity, from shyness, from fear of people. I'm not afraid of a crowd. Now, I still have enough insecurity that I am afraid of every one of you one-on-one. You sit down face-to-face at a table, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to say, you know. We first got on the internet, you know. Yes, it is the devil. I still need more healing. Well, I'm obsessed with God. You want to sit down and talk about God, I'm not scared. But socially, I still always have the fear that I'm not good socially. I make a friend with people. They want me to go to their kids' games, and I don't. They want me to come to their house, and I don't. They want to talk on the phone every day. I hate the telephone. And I don't like small talk. So pretty soon, after several months, they're telling me what a rotten friend I am because I don't do all those things, you know. And then I go, see, I can't make one-on-one friendships. I just let everybody down because they don't like me to be the way I am. I like to paint and write books and hide. We got on the internet, and my daughter says to me, Mom, you're an adult. You can go in a chat room and talk to other Christian women, and they don't see you or anything, you know, so you can do this. So she gets me all set up, and she says, now, just type your name on there, and I do it. And the ladies go, hi, Sue. And I go, oh, they talk to me. What do I say? She goes, say hi. So I still, one-on-one, don't socialize very well. Please forgive me for that, but I'm still working on that part. But God is a miracle worker. Whatever it is you need tonight, he can do it. The testimony of Christ is we've seen him do it. We've heard that he does it. And that is releasing into you hope that can grow faith when he speaks to you about what he wants to do. He healed by his word. In Matthew 8, I want you to turn to Matthew 8 and verse 5. This is an awesome story on healing. This is physical healing, but inner healing and physical healing are the same. Your inner healing works the same premises as your physical healing. I have more faith for inner healing because I've had more of it. And Jesus said unto him, the centurion, wait a minute. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Let's stop right there. Are you beseeching Jesus for anything? Are you after him for something tonight? Are you saying, Jesus, I need something. I'm begging you for something tonight. I'm desperate here and I'm saying, I beseech you, do something in me tonight. It's verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Are you grievously tormented about anything? Are you desperate? And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. There's the first prophetic word of testimony Jesus spoke to this man. I will come and heal him. Now, if he just put his faith in that word, okay, he's coming and he's going to do it. I believe him, what he just spoke to me. He didn't say, are you sure you're Jesus? When we get a thought from him, we go, is that really God? Is that really God? You know, the word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. He just promised if you ask, he'll give it to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. When you ask God, I want you to speak to me. I want you to say something to me. And then this thought from nowhere hits your brain and you go, I don't think that was God. I don't think it could have been God. I think I imagined it. I really don't know. I'm not positive. I don't have 48 confirmations on that. I don't think it was God. A man who doubts is double-minded and will receive nothing because he won't believe God when he does speak. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. It doesn't matter. He wasn't worthy and he knew it. There's the humility and the honesty. God, I'm here tonight to get something. I'm desperate for something. I'm wide open and wanting something. I know you can do it. I know that. And I know I'm not worthy. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it. He said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He didn't even need Jesus to come and do anything and touch him. He said, if you would only speak the word, it would happen. Do we have that kind of faith? If God would speak a word to you tonight, would you believe it? His word. We have to believe it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He was amazed. What? No, I don't want to read 9. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He was amazed. And he... Why was he amazed? Why was he surprised that this man realized all he had to do was speak a word and it would happen? He tells us why. Jesus said to them that followed, to those followers. Who followed him? Disciples. Disciplined followers. The churchgoers. The good Christians. The one that followed him everywhere he went. The ones that laid down their life, left their career, surrendered everything, loved him. He turned to them because they needed to get this. And he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel, not in his disciples, not in all of Israel. He said, I am amazed. I have never, not one time, seen anybody with this kind of faith. He doesn't even want me to come there and touch him. He said, just speak the word and it will be done. And it was done. When he went home, his servant was healed. Jesus was excited. I spoke, and this man said, all you have to do is say a word, and it will happen. I know it. That's faith. That's where I want you to go right now tonight. Jesus said, go your way, and as you have believed, so be it done unto you. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. He was healed immediately. Now, what do you need to be healed of tonight? Do you have a heartache? Are you lonely? Do you have some hurting? Do you have anger? Do you need to be delivered of fear of man, insecurity, hiding, doubt? What is it that you need from him tonight? Will you believe him if he will speak to you? He heals through his word. And tonight, in a minute, we're going to talk to him and we're going to ask him to give you a word, to speak to you. You're going to let him know, if you will speak to me, I will believe you for it tonight. Now, you may manifestly see it happen tonight. God told me that he was going to make me 20 years old. 20/20 vision, 120 pounds, which is what I weighed when I was 20, and I would literally be 20 years old when youth renewal comes. He told me that about 25 years ago. It's been a long time. But I have never stopped believing it. He spoke it. I know he spoke it. I clearly know that he told me that. And I won't let go of it until the day it happens. It is going to happen. So whatever he speaks to you tonight, he is going to do. There's another way that he heals. In Matthew 20:34. So Jesus had compassion on them. Matthew 20:34. Jesus had compassion on them. His compassion must touch someone. And he touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Mark 1:41. There is power in the love, in the compassion of Christ. It has to flow. And it touches people. There's a transference. Mark 1:41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean. The first part is us getting a word to know what God wants to do tonight. The second part, the reason I shared that, is when you are so fully healed that you can let His compassion flow through you. It is not a formula you can practice. It isn't that you learn how this healing thing is done so you can just walk up and say, because Jesus said to heal people, go out and heal the sick, because He said so, because based on His word, I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. No, His touch means we have to release Him, His compassion. And we can't do that past our blocks. That's why we need to be healed. If He didn't want to live through you to reach other people, He would just take you to heaven, get you out of this mess. But He wants to leave you in this mess so He can win other people. And He wants to live and flow through you the same way He flowed. And sometimes He just spoke. And sometimes He touched. And when He touched, His compassion. One time He said, I felt virtue flow out of me. He has to flow out of us when we touch. So once you've believed His word and we put on that music and you begin to just soak in His presence and see what He wants to do in you, if He leads us, that you also need a touch. That's what my daughter and I, maybe Dudley, maybe him, I don't know, our ministers right here, maybe others, I mean, Pastor Glenn, we have other ministers from our church. You notice we bring a whole crew. We got seven plus the two that are here. We bring a whole crew of our ministers because what if I had an issue today? What if this was just a bad day for me? Somebody hurt my feelings and I can't get past it myself. Then I can't let His compassion flow. So we bring a few ministers because if I'm not going to touch you with my pain, but if Christ rises up in me and He's flowing, then I want to come and touch people and let His love and His compassion flow. So our ministers are trained. When you come to church on Sunday morning or during a meeting and you have that passion of Christ in you and He's flowing, we want you to minister to people. But if you're in a bad place, don't touch somebody else with your pain. Let us pray for you. But don't you go minister out of your pain. So what I'm telling you is you're safe. I want you to just soak, get in His presence, let Him love on you. Find out what He has to say to you by asking Him. God, I'm here and I'm desperate and I'm needy and I hope and I want something from You tonight. Will You speak to me and touch me? Will You speak to me or touch me? I don't care how You do it, God. Come do something to me tonight. I need something. So we're going to move into that, and you may or may not get prayed for as he moves. We're going to put on music. Get comfortable. I forgot. I was going to bring pillows so you could lay on the floor with a pillow and a blanket, and I forgot to bring them. And we don't have a whole lot of carpeted area, but get as comfortable as you can. Even if you're sitting on a couch, you might want to get a chair and put your feet up on it. Just kick back. Go to sleep if you want to. Once you've invited God, it's all on Him and not on you.